Hello and welcome to the first ever episode of Kill Your Yo-Yo, brought to you by Illinx Toys. My name is Ross Levine, and today we have a very special guest. This is Luna, also known as the Sonic Pineapple. Now, you've probably seen Luna's tricks on Instagram. She is incredible. She's a powerhouse of creativity in the yo-yo community. She creates whips that are just unimaginable. She does things with yo-yos that look like juggling moves. She does things with juggling balls that look like yo-yoing moves. She is just incredible, the amount of stuff that she's able to do and the difficulty of her tricks that she's able to execute with apparent ease. So we're going to talk about all kinds of stuff, creativity, the techniques that she uses to come up with tricks, her inspiration, her backstory, the other stuff that she does and how that influences her yo-yos. There is so much content in this episode. Additionally, this was recorded on Instagram Live. There's some trick demonstrations that have been cut from the podcast episode. So if there's some weird cuts, that's because it's just us talking about tricks and me failing to be able to do them while she struggles to teach me and my inferior mind. So if you'd like to see those, check us out on Instagram at Illinx Toys. That's ILINX_TOYS. And you can also, and that's where all of the full episode is. And if you want to see Luna, check her out at The Sonic Pineapple, and that's on Instagram as well. She's sponsored by Rain City Skills, so you should go check them out. And her signature yo-yo is the Ouroboros, is what it is. Ouroboros by Rain City Skills, an excellent yo-yo. So go check out all those things, give us follows, and I hope you enjoy the episode as much as I enjoyed recording it.
Hello?
Heard it.
Hi, Luna!
Oh my god, it works now. Hey.
How's it going?
Well, I'm having a camera angle sadness.
That's okay.
Because this is not my usual setup, and I don't know where to... Like, I feel like you just can't see anything here.
That's all good. I can see enough.
You can see like the top half of tricks. Hold on, can I like tilt this anymore? Maybe if I do that. Yeah, there we go. Ah. That's better.
We're kind of matching outfits with the red.
Yeah, it's always good fun.
Yeah, we're missing your head.
Yeah, well, that's not part of the trick.
Oh my
but
god.
I can try and like just tilt it just back a little bit.
Oh, that there? That's perfect.
Yeah, I know this is really hard to see again, so I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's all good. I mean, half of this is just gonna be hanging out and talking.
Yeah, that's fair.
But thank you for coming.
Yeah, no, I'm glad to be here. Hmm.
Where are you at?
Oh, right now I'm visiting a friend is what I'm up doing. So I've gone off to France, which is quite exciting.
You're in France?
Yeah, at the moment.
That's crazy. That's what I hate about being in the US is I can't just like go to another country.
Yeah. It's too far. Well, you got plenty in your own country to do, right?
That's true. I never leave California though. I'm like, I just stay in my own little bubble.
Hey, it works.
Yeah. But it's so exciting to have you. I've been like, I've loved your videos for so long.
Oh, thanks.
Like constantly, every time I talk about like the best yo-yoers, you always end up on that list.
Aww.
It's okay. Like, seriously, such good stuff that you're putting out. So I'm so glad to have you.
No, it's nice to be here.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask some stuff on like what so let's start here. How did you start yo-yoing? Like, and also all the other skill toys that you do.
Right. So the whole thing goes back to like fourth, fifth year of school, and I got a Rubik's Cube for Christmas.
Okay.
And so I had to learn how to solve it, because of course I did. And so, after a while, I started to learn how to do these things. I remember in fifth year being stood in front of the class and getting a 3-minute solve and being very proud of myself. And that
Was that
must be
like with the
like,
whole class watching?
it was good fun. We had like a talent show week or something. I don't remember exactly, but that was good fun. And so that's kind of what got me interested in some of these things that are like considered hard, right? Doing things that are hard just because. And fast forward a couple of years in either the end of seventh year, first of eighth year, so the beginning of secondary school, we went on a school trip to a theme park. And in the gift shop of the theme park, they had these really cheap yo-yos, right? And they were really cheap and they looked kind of fun. I was like, oh, I'll get one, right? I'm here, right? That's fine. And I got it and I started playing with it. And I was like, oh, you can do some things with this. And I looked it up and I found all these cool videos of people doing insane things. I was like, I have to learn how to do that.
Was it a
Come
modern?
on.
Like, did it have a bearing, or
Oh,
was it
God, no. It
the...
had a bearing, and that was about all you could say about it. It was this tiny little plastic thing that was just, it had like a slimline bearing in it. It wasn't any branded yo-yo or anything. It was just some nonsense.
just some generic?
But yeah, some generic nonsense. So I learned how to do sleeper. I learned how to do like rock the baby and some things like that. I learned how to do like flips back and forth, and that was about it. And then sometime later, I found out about yo tricks. And so then I was like, oh, you can learn this stuff properly. And I think I got a Sage from them, and that was my first like real yo-yo. And so then I spent a few years just with that. And then I was hooked. That was me.
I haven't yet like heard a backstory that involved yo tricks yet, because so many of the
Oh
people
no.
that I know started at Yo-Yo Expert,
Yeah, so I looked
but
at some of the yo-yo expert tutorials, but I felt like as soon as I saw the yo tricks tutorials, I was like, these are just newer and better. Like, no
they
hate on yo
completely
tricks, but
are.
no, yo-yo expert, but like some of those tutorials are really old.
I remember going through the yo-yo expert tutorials and being like, at the end of this, I'm going to be a yo-yo expert. And then getting to the end and being like, I don't know anything. I'm not doing good. I wish I would have had yo tricks when I was starting. So what like year? What like how
Well,
what
so
year?
that would have been the beginning of eighth year, and now I've done 2 years of university now, so that would be 8, 9, 10, 11. That's the end of secondary school. Then 12 and 13 is A level, and then 2 of uni. So that would be 8 years. So this is will be my ninth year
Wow.
of yo-yoing. About.
So right now you're at university?
Well, I'm not actually. I'm taking a gap year
Oh.
from the middle of it, which is always good fun. For all sorts of things going on, pandemic things, life things, all of that, taking a bit of a break. But I'll be going back next year, hopefully.
So it
It
was kind of
should.
like you got through COVID and you were like, I got
I was like, I
to
can't do any more of this. I'm sorry.
I fully get that. I kind of did the same thing, except like COVID happened and then I graduated. And if I would have gone back to school after that, I would have lost my mind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I've been taking this year to focus on like some life stuff and some yo-yo stuff and all that, just getting other things good.
That's awesome. So then did yo-yoing, was that your lead in to all the other like kendama?
Kind of, yeah. It was probably the earliest thing that I picked up seriously. Like, I knew about some stuff. I knew about juggling. I knew about all sorts, but I didn't really know how to do it properly. I think I learned how to juggle a three-ball cascade at some point, but like once I started getting good at yo-yo and I started seeing what people were doing, like then I was like, oh, but then also there's these other people showing up, right? They're doing this thing with a stick, right? Or whatever. And I have to learn that too now. Come on.
Was that like Devil Sticks or Diablo, do you mean?
Well, all of them, right? I've done a bit of double sticks, I've done a bit of Diablo, I've done a bit of just juggling,
Mm-hmm.
I do Kendama. I do basically anything I can get my hands on now.
So am I guessing that you have one of these boxes somewhere in your house?
Oh, well, it would be more organized if I had a box, yes.
Oh, so you don't even have a box.
No, generally they live across my bookshelf, which is generally here, and across my windowsill, which is where I put my camera, and in my other set of shelves. Yeah, it's more like that. It's more like that. So at the moment, I don't have a lot of it, because you can only put so much on an airplane, but, you know.
They get heavy, all those props.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, they do.
As one cross prop person to another, do you find that all the different like juggling and you know all the stuff that it intertwines and influences each other?
Oh, definitely. Like to some extent. So. Sometimes it's something obvious, right? Like I'll see a cool Diablo trick or learn something. And I'm like, oh, I bet you can do a version of that with a yo-yo, right? And so then you come up with something and you come up with some weird thing. I think this was a trick that was inspired by a Diablo trick. Let's see if I can actually do it. So there, and then like that.
Oh, okay.
And there's a Diablo trick where you do the wrap and the slap goes around twice. And it was kind of inspired by that same movement. And sometimes it's a bit less obvious, like doing a bunch of juggling got me super interested in the theory, because juggling has got a really rich, you know, math behind it, and there's a whole bunch of interesting stuff there. And so then that makes my brain start to go, what is the theory for other things, right? How can I break down other skill toys with the same kind of lens?
Absolutely.
And it kind of makes you come up with some weird stuff.
Just to throw out vocab for anyone listening, if you want to look up the theory behind juggling, that's sight swaps.
Yeah, sight swap is like the most fundamental unit of, and it goes way wilder than that. It gets crazy, but that's kind of the good intro there. Yeah,
that's sort of the it's like the mathematical language behind.
Yeah, juggling. It's like that's like the equivalent of like. Doing, what would be the maths equivalent? Like number theory or something. Something really obvious, really classic. Like,
yeah.
But there's a lot to it. Yeah, right. Yeah, it's a bit like that. And you can totally go outside of that, right? Because you can start doing variations of sight swap where you do sync throws or polyrhythmic throws or whatever, and you can get that down. But then you can just go just mental and just go the other way. Yeah. And you end up with all sorts of weird graph theory problems and a bunch of cool stuff.
So if I were to guess, are you studying math?
Yes.
There we
absolutely
go. That's awesome. Is there any like specific I forget the words, like subcategory that you're
the main things that I quite enjoy. Like, it's on a range. Like, the thing I probably most enjoy doing is, like, number theory and abstract algebra and that kind of thing. So dealing with groups, dealing with, you know, integer equations, dealing with stuff like that. So I really enjoy doing. But, I've got a soft spot for calculus. So I've got a soft spot for analysis. Like, I enjoy those things, just not as much.
I got that.
I quite like, and I always have quite liked geometry, which comes from the puzzles, because it'd be 4 or 5 years ago now, I discovered that there was such a thing called a 4D Rubik's Cube, and that just destroyed my life.
Have you solved it?
I have. It took quite a while the first time. Now I can solve it in about an hour, something like that.
Now, can you solve it in an hour in front of your entire class?
I probably could. I think they'd get bored. Yeah. I don't think they'd understand what they were looking at. But now I've ended up being quite a prominent member of the hypercubing community, which is very, very small. I still think there are less than 1,000 people who've solved it, like at all, since it was invented in like 1990 something.
That's
or Well, before that, actually, it was 1970 something that the first computer programs for it were made. But now we do all sorts of things. It's not just cubes. We go up 560, you know, etc. And you go to different shapes that do all sorts of weird stuff.
So what's past the hypercube?
Well, it's the next one, right? It's the 5 cube, and then a 6 cube, and then a 7 cube.
Oh, okay.
I think 7's the biggest that we've built. But then there's also other shapes, like in 3D, you can have prisms, right? So you could have like a pentagonal prism.
Oh,
that you have a pentagon, and then it goes down. But in 4D, you've got an extra direction. So you can have what's called a duoprism, where in one way you've got pentagons, and the other way you've got something else. So maybe you've got pentagons this way, and hexagons this way, and it just works. And it's really hard to think about, but they do really cool things.
I can't solve a 2x2 in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's one of those things where, like, once you get to this point, you've lost all scale of what's difficult and what isn't.
Like, yeah.
I just don't know anymore. I'm like, oh yeah, this is pretty simple. Oh wait, no, I've just been doing it for like 10 years. That's why it's simple.
I have a feeling that the reason that all your tricks look so different from what everyone else does is it must have something to do with the fact that you're also solving like six-dimensional Rubik's cubes.
Well, I think part of it is like the same, part of it's the same spirit. I'm like, okay, we can do this, but surely we can do one better, right?
Yeah.
Or we can just make this harder. Like, that's where I came up with this. Because I was like, you know, everyone can do Ninja Vanish, and everyone can do, you know, these. Everyone could do that. oh God, what is this? You know, we've done double on GTs, and we've got like slap to double GT and all of that. But surely you can just go straight there. And so I just spent ages after seeing someone do it accidentally, like trying to figure out what does the string do, like lying it out on the floor. Like, one of the things I do is I just unwind my yo-yo, and you put the yo-yo on the floor, and you put the string end on the floor, and then you start moving it around until you get a shape.
That's
and then once
so
you,
cool.
And so then you build the shape you want, and then you pick it up, put it back on your finger, and figure out how to get out. And then once you figured out how to get out, then you undo that to get back in.
So it's almost like that almost mirrors the end. Process of like research and then prototype and then reverse or, and then like adding on some reverse engineering in there.
Definitely, because this is where this came from. Like that.
Oh my god.
Which I figured out by I want this shape, and then when I built it, I realized that you could do this and like unfold it, and then you ended up with just, well, usually it's a GT, and then I realized you could get into that GT with a vanish, and then you just fold back over, and then bam, there it is.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and so a lot of it's come from that and combining those kind of things. And, you know, a lot of it's accidents as well. You do a trick by accident, and you're like, okay, stop, unfold it, figure out what's going on.
Which, if I had to guess, is how like 99% of tricks that are out there come about.
You do something wrong by accident and you go, well, that was cool.
How did I do that?
Yeah. And I just think, one of the things, I don't think I'm the only person who does it, but I think a lot of people don't do it, is when I do something by accident, I don't just go, that was cool, and drop it and try it again.
Mm-hmm.
I go, that was cool, I'm going to stop the yo-yo, put it down, and stare at whatever I've just made for like 5 minutes.
So that...
And try and figure out where it came from.
That like, is... I just want to pause and just like emphasize for anyone watching or listening that I have never thought of that or heard of anybody say that. And what you just said, like, there would have been so many more tricks that I would have that I've gotten to, and then lost. I was like, all right, let me try that again. And I just destroyed
it. And then you can't do it, right?
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like, okay, like maybe I do something. I'm like trying to think of a good example. Like, well, this is probably a good example. That trick.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because you're like, what the hell just happened, right?
Yeah.
And so then what you do is you don't just go, okay, let's try it again. And then don't get it. What you do is you stop and you go, okay, So I was moving my string this way. It went to this side of the yo-yo. Uh-huh. And then something happened, right? So this came out here.
Uh-huh.
And then I look at this and I'm like, okay, but this is going through itself. So that can't be what happened.
Uh-huh.
So instead, I'm going to do like this. And I know a trick that's similar to this, and it actually fell out the back. So it probably came out the back. And so then maybe this is the string,
mm-hmm.
you know. And now I'm starting to lose it because I'm trying to do this stood up. But maybe this was the string. And then you can unfold it. And then you can unfold it. And oh, now I'm here. So now I know what must have happened is that I folded this and folded this and then it pulled through and then it landed there. Because that's how I just got out, and that makes yeah. sense. And so then when you do it, you're like, okay, well, this needs to go over twice. And then you land on the string. And you get horrible knots. Which is always good. Oh, that's a real knot. Oh, God.
See, I'm trying to do that, and I just get a double-on ninja vantage green triangle.
Yeah, so there's a big difference. So, hold on.
My whip game is not good.
Yeah, well, so there's a big key thing that I think separates a lot of my vanishes from other people's, mm-hmm. and it's that the initial motion is quite awkward. So it's not the slack going behind the yo-yo. The slack goes to the side of the yo-yo and in front of it. The yo-yo comes up behind, which is quite unnatural. But once you get it, it's not so bad, right? And so the vanish direction is still the same, but both strings go in front of the yo-yo instead. And so then that gives you a kink, and then you can do all sorts of weird stuff with it. So you hold it still like a normal vanish, but when you do a normal ninja vanish, right, one string goes behind the yo-yo and the other one goes into the yo-yo, right?
Yes.
So the one that goes behind the yo-yo, make it go in front of the yo-yo.
The one that goes behind...
that... Yeah, make it go in front. And the other one, make it go in front too.
oh, weird. Okay.
And then it wraps around its own string, right?
Yeah, so you're...
And that is... That's the double two. So I'm only doing one rotation. It's not two rotations.
Now just
the two rotations is for the triple one. But that's way harder. Oh my God, this knot is just the worst.
This is probably the hardest.
Yeah, it's really hard. And the thing that makes it so hard is that it's like counter to all the things you've been learning by doing ninja vanishes, right? You're going to the wrong direction. The yo-yo is coming up on the wrong side. You're trying to wrap around its own thing and you're not landing on the slack. But once you get that down,
uh-huh.
like half of my vanish tricks are based on exactly the same setup. You just do one more rotation or it goes round a different way or you twist your hands or something.
That makes sense. So that's how you're able to get all those crazy patterns.
That's how I'm able to get this, because instead of just having a slack spinning around here, mm-hmm. I've suddenly got this like double kink going on, and that's like... You've just got so many options.
Yeah.
just
like a basic little kink can be the base
yeah.
so much. That's crazy. And I totally
and this is...
seen that the yo-yo is, it's almost like you're controlling that instead of the slack.
Yes. So the slack is just kind of going over, and it's the yo-yo that actually does, like the slack does the work, but you don't have to catch the yo-yo in the slack. The yo-yo just kind of falls down.
Yeah. I'm going to have to practice that for a few days.
So like there, and that's the motion.
Wow.
And it's one of those weird ones, because it is super unnatural and super weird, but once you learn it, mm-hmm. it's really easy, right? I can just do this trick now. Like, bomb. I can't see because the floor is the same color as the string, but there we go. Like, it's just a trick I can do. And I spent a few years doing it now, but
yeah.
You know, when I first came up with it and I was trying to figure out how it worked,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd seen one or two people do it accidentally trying to do a normal vanish.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I have to figure out how this works. And when I was first doing it, this was like a god moment trick, right? I land this and I am just the king of all yo-yo. It's like, what? but now it's just a casual, I throw at the end of combos yeah. for a laugh.
just to make people go, wait a second, what?
Yeah, to go, just what was that, right?
Oh my god.
And it's a shame, because now it's one of the easier ones that I know. And there are many, like, more difficult ones, like that one. Uh-huh. But it's so subtle that nobody can tell that you even did a trick, right? Like, if I show you this is a normal Ninja Vanish.
Yeah.
And this is the special one.
It looks...
What's the difference, right? Except when I do this, now I've got a double DT.
Okay.
Because actually what I've done is just done a Ninja Vanish into a red triangle.
Hmm.
Which is achieved very sneakily by doing a Ninja Vanish, but then the string that normally goes behind hits the yo-yo. And then the other string doesn't go in front, it goes behind. Like that. And now there is. But that means that you have to redirect that second string in the air, which is why you see me tug my other hand back to kick it behind the yo-yo, because it really wants to go in front. And that is just unbelievably difficult. To do.
I completely believe it for the reason that I'm like, I'm like trying to get it, and then I go to do it and I'm like, oh wait.
You're like, I don't understand. Yeah. So a good intermediate trick is the, like, you'd probably call it a counter Ninja Vanish. So normal Ninja Vanish is like this, and one string goes behind and the other one hits, right? Counter is you kind of move, shift everything forward a bit, and you get the reverse triangle. So the string that normally goes behind hits the yo-yo, and the string that normally hits the yo-yo goes in front.
Oh, like that?
Yeah, like that. God. And so then your throw hand should go to the front, right? And then you end up in this triangle that comes out the back. And that's a pretty neat trick. Yeah, exactly.
Those fun things.
You can do all sorts of things. And so then the red triangle is exactly the same, but then you kick the other string to the back instead, which is really subtle. You have to, like, sneak it underneath. And then your hands don't cross. Your hands stay. My hand just kicks it behind.
I'm not positive what I'm kicking.
Yeah, so it's the... So when you do the Ninja Vanish, there's two strings. And this is kind of where it starts becoming some theory stuff. Because I call one of the... Like, I don't actually have proper names for these, but these are two different things in my head. Mm-hmm. Right, there's the kind of, in a normal Ninja Vanish, there'd be the behind string and the contacting string, right? Which are actually the same string because it's just a loop, but, you know. So I kind of call them the front and the back, even though that doesn't really make sense. Yep. But it's because the front one leads, right? And then the back one comes behind. And hits the yo-yo then.
Uh-huh.
And they're like the both sides of the loop. So for the red triangle, it's front string in, back string behind.
Right.
Which is just really hard because it doesn't want to. It really, really doesn't want to.
Oh, I think I kind of am
stuck. So you can break it down without doing a slack, right? So if you kind of hold the vanish, then front string in, back string behind, there's a red triangle.
That's ridiculous.
And then all I'm doing is doing that with slack instead. Yeah, it's that kind of... I think it's one of the things that I've just kind of honed over years of doing these tricks is that mid-air slack control. Like being able to make it go where I want, propel it over an extra time or redirect it or whatever without having to hit it or land it in the yo-yo.
Uh-huh.
That's one of the things. So the same as like this trick where I get it to go over again.
Uh-huh.
Or like this.
Oh wait, you just froze for me. Right when you
All
did
right,
it too.
Okay, hold on. So here we go. I've got this twist, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's it.
Oh my god.
That's a no hands Ninja Vanish.
So you're
because it's all happening in the kink. Yeah, it's all happening in the kink. And then there's the no hands magic Ninja Vanish, which is insane because you start just from here.
Uh-huh.
Right? So this is just the string in front, right? There's no crossing in the string at all. And then you pop, pop. And now you've got this, which is a
you're like
bad
a,
exit.
You just like do nothing and destroy everything.
You know, right? And this is one of the tricks that I call magic because what's happening, right, is I'm coming from this position
uh-huh.
where I have this behind this, And by doing a slack, I'm able to get this to wrap around this way. Okay. Despite the fact that then it goes back the other way. And like, if you just watch it, like actually what happens there is that this string kicks itself up here and then goes forward, which has got no right to be doing that. Because if I just move my hand, it's just loose. There's no attaching at all.
I need to set up like a slow-mo camera.
Yeah, I need to film some of these things in slow-mo. So I filmed, I think I called it Magic Slack Tower. It uses a very similar principle, and I can't do this trick on command. But basically, the reason I called it magic is because what you do is a ninja vanish up here,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you undo. So you go, bwah, like that, and that's the whole trick.
Okay.
And nothing happens, right? That's just the undo. But if you do it just right, the whole thing goes over, and you end up with a tower. Well, that's a bind. Because the string coming from the yo-yo kicks itself around to follow, despite the fact you've got no grab on it at all. And I don't understand how.
Some.
But there's a slow-mo of that on my highlights on my profile. Along with a lot of tricks.
So I love that some of your tricks, you don't even know how they work.
No, so I know mechanically what's going on, but I don't know why it's happening.
Yeah. Like, that's so cool.
Come on.
So
can't get it.
Like the way that you approach tricks is like puzzles.
Yeah, definitely. So I kind of think about it as, what do I have to do to make this happen?
Uh-huh.
Like, or if I do this, what happens, right?
But then there's also, I remember you were doing this full loop trick that you had the yo-yo and the loop, and you basically did a juggle with
yes.
the loop and the yo-yo. And like,
yeah.
When you came up with that, were you thinking kendama, juggling, or?
So what I was thinking there, that trick dates back a long time. So the ones that I do the grind, those are a bit more modern, quote unquote. And those ones come from juggling, yeah. And a bit of kendama. But the very basic one, and I'm not going to do it here because this is a wooden floor and I don't want to break it.
Yeah.
But basically you have the yo-yo in the loop like this, right? Mm. And then you throw the yo-yo up and then you take the loop and you throw the loop up
mm-hmm.
and then it's kind of hovering like that, right?
Yeah.
And there's yo-yo up here, there's loop here, and then you grab the loop and grab the yo-yo. And the whole thing. And I think I originally called that like spacewalk or something. And the idea I had behind that was because back when I was just playing with the loop of string, I was like, oh, you can just throw it, right, and catch it.
Yeah.
Because you can throw the string and catch it. And I would do that sometimes when I got in a knot or a mess and I dropped the yo-yo. And I'd be going to pick the yo-yo up and I'm holding this loop in a weird way. And I just kind of swing it and grab it
uh-huh.
to open it all up. And I was like, hold on, you could do that as a trick, right? You yeah. could go, bwah, bwah, bwah. And so then I just spent like months just trying to get that. And again, now that's a trick I can do a lot of the time. I've done it on stage a few times, you know.
Where?
At contests. UK contests.
Okay.
So I think some of my most recent vids have got that in. Recent contests. Vids have got it in. Not always, because I suck at contests. But
so that's one thing I wanted to ask you. I have a little list of questions, and that's on there. Is what is your...
Oh, yeah?
What are your thoughts on contests? Because...
I think they could be a lot better, but they could be a lot worse, I think.
Uh-huh.
I really enjoy the event. I really enjoy seeing everyone on stage. I really enjoy going on stage and doing things. And then I'm always a bit disappointed by how some things aren't allowed and some of the results turn out and whatever. And I'm always like, oh, it could be better, right? It feels like a lot of things don't have a spotlight, right?
Yeah.
You know, something like Full Loop, it doesn't have a place that it actually goes. I go on there for a laugh and I score zero and it's good fun. Unless the judge is feeling generous, in which case I score too many points.
it's like,
which is a brilliant story of how I went from winning the Northern Regional Contest to coming almost last in the National Contest, because at the National Contest there was a judge who thought it shouldn't score by the rules, and so I didn't score anything. Whereas at Regionals, they just decided that it would.
That's...
which is great. I did the same routine, basically, and just... nothing. But then also think people like Oh, what's I've forgotten his name. The Japanese off-string player who's just had the submarine come out. C3.
I don't...
And his... Oh God, what? Shotaro Masuda.
Uh-huh.
And his off-string yo-yo comes with a special set of spacers called MSD spacers that make it so wide that it's unresponsive.
Okay.
And so then he does a bunch of tricks where he's got like double wraps in the bearing and doing all sorts of weird technical slack stuff and these weird stuff with a really long string. And a couple of times he's made entire like 2-minute freestyles that score 0 points.
What the hell?
Because in off string, if the yo-yo doesn't actually leave the string, it doesn't score a point. Which means that all of this technical stuff, this rail stuff, these like really intricate slacks just score zero.
So that's
which is really sad.
Where I think the contest holds back the progress of yo-yoing.
Yeah, in like, some ways, I think they do. Because you just have things like that that aren't allowed. Like, that could be really cool, yeah. But it doesn't score anything. You can go up and do it, but, you know, it doesn't score. Or, like, you go up to a 1A contest, he's like, I'm going to do Mobius. Ah, no. 0 points. You know?
Yeah.
I'll go into 3A and I'm going to do doubles, two in one hand. That's 0 points.
Yep.
You know, and it's, I think the thing that makes me upset about it is that if you look at like the 5A division, it's one or more yo-yos, right? And it's one or more counterweights, just doing whatever, like double dice, sliding dice, double freehand, it's all legal, all scores you points. You look at 4A or solo ham, that's fine. Air panda, like that's fine. That's the two strings, one on each hand, you know. Yo-yo on each hand, that's totally fine. Three yo-yos, if you can do it, you know, it's going to score you three times as many points.
Uh-huh.
And then you show up at 3A division, which is exactly one yo-yo on each hand, string trick yo-yos attached to you, doing tricks where both yo-yos are moving. And you're like, why? Why is it so specific? When 4A and 5A have been so general, and we've seen solo ham come crazy places. Because it's been allowed in competitions, yeah. And the top level players are like, "Well, we can do this."
The first time I saw it was Ray who did it first, right?
I think he was probably one of the first people to do it because it was so he wasn't the person who invented it, but he might have been the first person to do it seriously at a contest.
I remember
because Taka used to do it in contests, and that's why it's allowed because he just did it for fun, and they were like, "Oh, sure, we'll just let this be a thing. It surely it won't ever play us, right?"
Yeah.
We'll just let the rules say that. And then later on, people were like, hold on.
They kept...
There's some real tricks here.
Literally developing it. Because it used to be, as far as I remember, like, the first time it showed up, it was just the like, two yo-yo orbit.
Yeah, basically that and a couple of very basic Diablo tricks.
Yeah, and then, like...
Because that's where a lot of the inspo comes from. And now you've got Hajime doing a full 3-minute and...
Yeah.
All of these ridiculous tricks from online worlds and from, you know, Axel and stuff like that.
Totally insane.
Like, just going wild. We've had at least two people hit three yo-yos now.
Really?
We've had somebody being able to throw all three yo-yos and catch all three yo-yos. We've had a few players who can do three if someone puts the third one in.
Uh-huh.
And we've had, I think... one or two people who have now self-started three and done a trick. Gerbin a while ago did like two and then launch one, throw the third and start doing, you know, two roll, pop one, two roll, pop one, two roll, pop one for a while.
How long do you think it is until full three yo-yo juggling with regen throws?
Now that I would love to see. That is like, so one of my dream things to see is like that with solo ham, where you're just doing regens with just both yo-yos, right?
That's almost 2A.
Like that's it's almost 2A, but on one hand, right?
Yeah.
And that's like 100% dream trick.
If anyone can do it, Luna, it's...
I can't. I've tried. So I have successfully done a single exchange.
Uh-huh.
Where I had one yo-yo, I threw it up, and then when I throw the second yo-yo, the other yo-yo lands on the string as it comes off and binds.
Uh-huh.
I have done that successfully, like, twice, and that's it. And it was nowhere near controlled enough to actually turn it into a continuous thing.
Did you?
But I think it definitely, it's like 4A players who can do regens really nicely and can control solo hand.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Ray can do the double throw up. Jimmy can do it. A few other people can do it, definitely. So I think they could probably do that trick. I think it's really hard, but I think it's possible.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I think it would be amazing, right? It would just be so hype.
Did you get it on camera when you got it?
Yeah, I did. It's posted on my Instagram somewhere.
I gotta go check that out.
It's somewhere down the list. God, I don't know where. I ain't got too many things.
See, for me, when I started posting tricks, it was like my goal was to record stuff so that I could come back to it later. But the problem is every one of those boxes looks the same when I'm going through.
Yeah, that's the thing, right?
It's like such a trend. It's all there. I just can't find the one that I want.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes I just go through and just watch a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, oh shit, I used to be able to do good tricks. Like, what? What happened? You know?
100%. I did want to put out just the people watching right now. It looks like we've got four. If anybody has questions, I think we're starting to get towards the end. There's a few.
Ollie? Wow, that's something fast.
Last ones to hit. What was that?
Oh, no, nothing. If you manage to hit it, then it's definitely a viable trick. That is a good philosophy right there.
If you hit it once, you can hit it again,
right? Or like Ben Herald says, if you can visualize yourself doing it, you can do it.
Yeah. That honestly right.
If you
is such a big...
If you understand what you have to do, then you can do it. I think it's something that plagues beginners a lot, as they try and do something without understanding what it is they're trying to do. You know? And so then you can't do it. You know, Brent Stoll, classic trick. Like, everyone goes, how the hell does that work? But you have to know how it works before you can do it consistently.
Yeah. I've been sort of pretentiously calling that the metaphysics of yo-yo. That, like, this stuff exists in this ethereal realm. And if you can get that into your head, then it can happen in the real world.
Then you can do it, right? And that's where... No, you've got to... It takes a lot of work to get...
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to hit on that for the foray thing is like, there's a development there, right? That, like, first they were able to just get solo hand to work, and then they were able to bind them, and then they were able to start doing regens, and then you start getting everything else. And so, like,
yeah.
As soon as someone is able
and to... And suddenly now it's viable, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
yeah, I don't know how long it'll be until 3 is competition ready, but I've seen enough now that I think it will be eventually.
Yeah.
I think it will be super limited because just the difficulty is so high.
Oh, yeah.
But I think people will be able to do it.
I'm sure they will, especially because it'll be allowed in contests.
Like, yeah, exactly. And it's like, come on, you get triple points and everyone goes wild. Like,
yeah.
Not to mention all the risk points you get.
Yeah. Meanwhile, yeah. Like, you and I, like, if I were to do any of my swinging combos in contest, like,
nothing.
Like this, if I were to do this in contest, which took me like, I don't know, 5 years.
Yeah, that's hard.
No,
how you, is that like inside outside?
It's a
or is it?
Yeah, it's a revolutions.
Yeah,
inside outside from a 1.5, and
yep.
Thrown into a 4-pedal any spin flower.
Oh my god! Okay, so then you go like I can't do that.
you will. You'll be able
to. I've tried that kind of thing before, but I just suck so much.
So the trick is you transition. So it's two inside and two outside.
So you're basically transitioning from here, right?
What?
To here.
Yes.
And then to here. and then to there, and then to there. Yeah. Okay. That does make sense.
Yeah.
But that's so hard to get to look nice. Like, oh my god.
And then you can toss in, like, big wide stuff.
Oh god, yeah. It's just poi, isn't it? It's great.
It's 100% just poi.
Yeah.
That's all my tricks. That's my secret.
Well, hey, you know, they look nice.
Thank you.
They look nice, and if you're enjoying it, that's the important part, right?
Yeah, it'd be nice if it counted in a competition, though.
Yeah, yeah. But not everything has to count in a competition. That's the other thing, right?
I know.
There's plenty to be said for, you know, the trick circle at the end of worlds and all that, you know? Yeah. Just doing something that looks cool. We should bring back more, like, trick exhibition and trick battles and stuff like that. Like, come on. We need one of those.
I mean, I'm going to keep working on them no matter what the competitions do. But I'm also
going to keep complaining
about how competitions are keeping other people from exploring this stuff.
Yeah, I think it's definitely...
It's kind of where
In some ways, it does provide some motivation because you're like, I enjoy this movement, but can I also make it score? And usually that involves making it harder. And so then actually sometimes you can come up with a really good trick by making this thing you find a pleasant actually a competition trick. But sometimes you have the other way around. If you're like, I really enjoy this, but it just doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
Like, I really enjoy follows, right? Especially trapeze follow. I think it's a really satisfying trick, but that doesn't score you any points. And so I was like, well, hold on, if I can do a follow into something, right, that's going to score some points. And so then I came up with this. Which is doing a single follow, but you carry it around the wrist, and then you hook it as well with the follow slack. And suddenly that's a really interesting trick. Yeah, so it hooks. So you come from here. Trapeze. Uh-huh. And you do one swing, right? And one follow. And now it's coming up the outside. And then as it comes up the outside, you go over again. And it should go over and over your other finger. And it hooks over there.
Oh, yeah.
Like a 1.5.
I got
it. And then you end up in this position, which is like, you know, you end up in like kind of almost reverse kamikaze, but not.
It's
the one that magically drops out the bottom.
I do a similar. What on earth do I do? I do something.
Yeah, basically that. Basically that. Yeah. But that kind of trick, like suddenly I was like, oh. Yeah, yours is just going around a different number of times. I think. But fundamentally, similar concepts. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is reminding me though, I did actually bring a trick to teach today.
Oh yeah.
So the thing is, the trick has got a really cool concept in it that nobody uses. But the actual trick is really easy. Well, easy. It's not a beginner trick, but you know. So what it is, I'll show you the trick and then I'll kind of explain what's going on.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was an upside down double green triangle.
Uh-huh.
Which is the cool bit, right?
Wow.
But it's really hard to get it on camera. Like, it's so fast.
Yeah.
But when you're doing it, you can see it and it feels really cool.
I almost want to, like, have that on video, freeze that frame for a second.
Yeah. So I've done that, and because one of the tricks I did is, you know, that double green triangle vanish.
Yes.
If you go over an extra 0.5, then you can hit an upside down one.
Okay.
Like, which is, it's difficult, but you can do it. Right, hold on. I can't do it because it's kind of like this one. If you've ever seen that one, where you hit. Straight up and straight down. It's just that, but with the double. And you end up with upside down double. And I've done a slow-mo of that, and it looks really good. But this is unbelievably difficult to try. Yeah, that's whipping straight into upside down double.
Ridiculous.
Which is really hard, yeah. I actually have another. Yeah, go on.
So I was going to ask, for that trick, you were saying that it had an interesting thing that you don't see enough. What
yeah.
was that? What specifically?
It's an upside down double green triangle.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Which nobody does, right? I think I've heard of one other person do them because it's really hard to get into them.
Yeah. So this is a method that is sort of intermediate in difficulty that can get
yeah.
you. It's not
that can get you
really
to one. And it no, and it kind of shows you how you might hold a string setup that will turn into one. So I actually have another one, and this one's front style, which is always fun.
Helps.
But there's a cool bit of trick theory with that trick that I really like, and it's one of my favorite like fun facts about yo-yos. Is that whenever you have a red triangle, right?
Uh-huh.
Whenever you have a red triangle, it's also a double green triangle.
Okay.
They're the same thing.
So here's a red triangle.
Yeah. And if you roll over, so you should see of the double string should have one end of it being the string attached to the yo-yo and one end of it being the other one. And then if you roll over to the side where the yo-yo string is, the string coming from the yo-yo.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of weird.
Roll over to that side.
So the easiest way for me to explain it to you is with a specific setup, right?
I think I see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an upside
down.
So
this trick, some of you might... Yeah, so some of you might recognize this as the really basic double green triangle taught by... So you're not quite doing it, but you're almost there. So I'm going to show you this, which should make it super clear what's happening. So what you're going to do is you're going to start with a trapeze. Right?
Sorry, I'm playing with it. All right, I'm in a trapeze. I will be in a second. All right, here we go.
Yeah. Then towards your non... No,
so
to, your non-throw hand, towards your throw hand. So you're going to point your hands at each other.
Okay.
And then you're going to tunnel through and drop it. And then you're going to take the string coming from your yo-yo finger and you're going to underpass behind the yo-yo. And it's not going to land on that string. That string is just going to do an orbit of the bearing. Right? And that's it. And then you'll be in a double green triangle. So the yo-yo shouldn't move around. The yo-yo shouldn't roll. So you're here, right?
Yeah.
And all it is this.
Oh, okay.
And you just have to make sure you stay. So you can do it really slowly. Like, you don't have to pop it up.
Okay.
There you go. And then if you just drop that off your wrist, now it's a double green triangle, right?
Yes.
And if you think about it, when you tunneled it over your wrist and then grabbed the string, if you drop it, that's a red triangle.
Yes.
And the rollover makes it a double green triangle. So that always... That's a one-to-one, like, you can always do that.
So the only thing separating a red triangle from a double green triangle is a rollover.
It's a single underpass, yeah.
Okay.
And that underpass is doing the same thing as, you know, when you end up in this, which has got just a twist,
mm-hmm.
and you roll over, and now you've got a triangle. I'm sure you've seen that before.
This is so... I now know so much more about green triangles and whips.
Yeah. Yeah, and so if you look at a red triangle, it's the same situation, just with a king.
So that...
I see.
So now if I go here, and I roll over... Oh!
Yeah. So it's... Oh. I find it's really difficult to do it. If the triangle's just sat there, right? So if you're just like this, I find it's really difficult to get it underneath. You absolutely can do it, but you kind of have to swing it up and slack it in, and it's a bit weird. So
yeah.
What I find easier is if you're in your triangle, if you take your throw hand something and open it up, then you can do the underpass. And then you can slowly learn to do it without.
Here.
You can also roll over the other way, which is kind of fun. But that's a different.
Uh-oh.
That's a different story.
That means
yes, you have to roll on the other side. This is the thing. Because in red triangles, one side will give you the double green triangle, and the other side will give you horrible messes. Because on this side, there's your double green triangle. But on this side, oh, that's just bearing hell.
Yeah. I fully got into bearing hell.
Yeah, absolutely. Mostly. But that's a fun little fact that you can pull out all the time. Oh, is there I saw someone mentioning, how do you do that gondola?
Yeah.
Right. So you do, I'll show you from the front. You have this split bottom, and then you do the path forward and the path back from split the atom. And then you have this here, right? This is the mount where I've got a loop here, which is coming from here. And I've got a loop here, which is coming from the yo-yo. And I'm going to take the loop that's coming from my throw hand, and I'm going to curl my index finger in and drop the other one on. And that's it. And then once you've done that, oh God, I've just hit myself. Once you've done that, then it's this string, right? This one here. That's what you're going to land on. And then you end up with this here, and then you can bop. And actually getting the upside down double green triangle to show properly, that's the hard part. Because you have to time where you're popping and like what direction you do and how much slack you give it to make it actually come out. But it's good fun.
This is so good. There's so much good stuff covered.
The red triangle, double green triangle duality is something that you can use in loads of places.
The red
because
triangle,
at any point,
double green triangle duality is what that's called.
Yeah, it's I'm like, that well, that's what I called it just now. But red triangles are double green triangles. And if you extrapolate just a little bit more, that means any trapeze is a double green triangle.
Because
you just pull through. You just pull through and undo, which is where every so often there's this trend of like the magic double green triangle where they go here and they go blip. And everybody thinks that's
a brand new
trick when I've been doing it for ages. which is always really funny.
Like,
everyone's like, how the hell does that work? And I'm like, I know.
Correct me if I get the term wrong. It's topography, right? Where
yeah,
the
one topology.
Is a donut is a coffee mug.
Topology is the word you're looking
topology.
For.
Topology.
Topography is like heights on maps.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
But they're similar. I'm sure they have similar roots. You know. But yeah, because you can absolutely then see that show up because then you get tricks like this, right? Oh, I just messed it up because I can't see. Right, okay, hold on. This is a trapeze.
Yeah.
And then that would be a double green triangle there. Except I can't hit it. Come on. Oh, I'm sad now. Oh, really? I feel like I'm being robbed. There we go.
Oh my God.
And it's from the trapeze that you just... What?
Are we going to see the first thesis on, like, the graph theory of yo-yos?
Or well, there's some fun stuff. If you just regulate yourself to triangles, right? Triangles are really easy to study because they have a well-defined structure. There's not a lot of crazy stuff going on. And there's a fun fact that there exists no pure 4-plus triangles that have clean exits. Yeah,
okay.
So quad GT, quint GT, etc. There does not exist one that has no twists and comes out clean.
Really?
It's not possible.
For the most basic viewer, such as myself, why?
Because, right, so the easy way to look at it is to look at how you turn a GT into a double GT, right? And the easy way to, like, the way that I studied it was using a 5A yo-yo, because that lets you have the other end free. But you don't need that. That's just my explanation, right? So the easiest way to turn a DT into a double DT is you have your DT, mm-hmm. and then you take this counterweight and you pass it through, and now you have a double DT,
yeah.
right? And so then when you pop out of the double DT, if you pop out the front, it's going to exit like normal, and that's going to leave you here, right? Because when I have a DT, and then I exit, and then end up with this twist.
Yes.
But then if you take the counterweight and put it through this twist, now you've just got a horrible knot, right?
Uh-huh.
That's no good. Which is why you can't just pop out the front of a DT, of a double DT. And when we do this pass through, let me just sound check. Yeah. So now what I'm going to do is if I exit the back of this, well, now I end up with a knot, right?
Uh-huh.
And I can undo the knot by putting the yo-yo back through, but I can also undo the knot by putting the counterweight through.
Yes.
And when you do a clean exit double DT, that's exactly what happens, right? I've got this triangle and I exit it backwards and I end up with a knot, but it's also already going back through on the other side. And so then it slides through.
Got it.
So and that's how you construct it. Yeah. And that's how you construct a clean double green triangle. And mm-hmm. there's a bit of interest here because there's two kinds of double green triangle. There are the clean ones, which you can spot by when you look at them. If you follow the string from one end to the other, which is on the yo-yo, it should go the same direction for both kinks. So this one is going from the back to the front and then the back to the front. And if it does that, it's a clean exit. And that's two. There's front, front, and back, back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the other kind where they don't match, where one of them goes to the front and one of them goes to the back. And if you exit that, basically what you end up with is a double knot, which is no good. So you have to exit that one from the front and land into a normal DT and then exit that one again. Yeah. Okay. And that's the only way to get out of those. And those are nasty ones. These are what I call bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
So you get good ones that exit out clean and bad ones that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that is all of the pure double green triangles. So those are the ones with no twists. Because obviously you could have a GT, right? And you could just pull this through and now you've got this. Mm-hmm. But like that's all twisted up, right? That doesn't feel legitimate in some way. Because this is all twisting around here. I can't hear you.
My
hello, yeah, you're back. Hello. but yeah, you kind of end up with these like illegitimate
mm-hmm.
double green triangles, which are still good tricks. But if you just pull this loop through, right, then you end up with a double green triangle, but it's got a twist. Like this string is twisted around itself.
Got it.
It's not clean.
So they should right? just
and that's fine. Some of those will exit just fine. Some of them won't. But a pure double green triangle has no twists. And fun side fact, any only twisted double green triangle, so it doesn't have like double wraps on the kinks, but it could have twisted kinks, they can be reduced to either a pure one or a single green triangle or some nonsense by just flipping it around. But that I haven't studied properly. But then,
okay.
So that's the same way that we turned a single green triangle into a double green triangle by passing the end through, right? And so then it's basically a green triangle over the string. We can do the same thing with a double, right?
Yeah.
If we've got a double green triangle, like this, then we can pass the end through and get a triple.
Yes.
Which hopefully that shows up. Yeah, there you go.
It's...
What we need... Here. Yeah. You're pulling it through, right? Yeah. But if we want one of those to come out clean, what we need is a double green triangle that when we exit has just a simple knot, because then we can solve that knot by passing the end through, right?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, any double green triangle, if you pop out the way the kink suggests, right? If you look at just the bottom kink, if you pop out that way, you end up with a simple knot.
Okay.
And so then you can pass the end through, and that's good. And so for a triple green triangle, the middle kink doesn't matter, but if the outer kinks match, you get a clean exit.
Okay.
From the same kind of thing, because double green triangles, you pop out the front and you get a kink, and then you can solve the kink by passing through. And so then, like, for an example of a clean triple, let me see if I can land this trick. Nope, that's not clean. I've just made a mess. Get out, get off. No, get off. There we go. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. I'm just so sad. There we go. Right. So there's a triple green triangle.
Uh-huh.
And this one's exact structure is coming from the yo-yo finger. It goes back to front, back to front. Hang on. Back to front, back to front, and then front to back. So I was wrong. They have to be opposite. Right. But if the top and the bottom kink are opposite, then if you pop out, you end up with the same pull through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine. And so that's great. There's four of those, right?
Yeah.
Because they're just the outside. The middle one doesn't matter. And then you have fun with that. And you go, okay, well, can I make a quad, right?
Uh-huh.
And for a quad, what you need is a triple that when you exit it, you get a clean knot. And there aren't any.
I thought that might be where you were headed.
There aren't any. If you exit them, you either get out or horror.
But there is the option of
just pulling through and getting an impure one, yeah.
But then it's not pure because it's twisted.
But then it's not pure because it's got twist. And so that's your only option. So if you have a pure one, it won't come out in one go. You'll have to do multiple steps to get out. And if you have one that comes out straight away, it's not pure.
I see what you're saying, and that is ridiculous.
And it feels so sad, right? Because then that's it, right? You're screwed.
Yeah.
There aren't any more.
You can't get higher than.
So in theory, potentially, even if a four didn't exist, there might be a four that gave you a clean knot, but I'm pretty sure there isn't. And I've not checked all the way because that's infinitely many, but pretty sure it's not real. There's definitely no fours. I'm pretty sure there's no fives. And then, you know, that's ridiculous by that point.
Yeah. But what about
Oh, well, in four dimensions, none of it works because a string can not pass through itself, but go around itself. Right. You need a whole plane, and then it gets weird.
So then there's no green triangles. There's no greater than four pure green triangles, and there's no green triangles at all in the fourth dimension.
Yeah, unless you use a plane, and then suddenly it's different things. So, yeah, you have to do two dismounts for each pair, absolutely.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Which always works. So you can always have an N green triangle that comes out in N steps. That you can do just fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't have an N green triangle that comes out in one step unless N is 1, 2, 3, and that's it. Yeah. Which is nice because those are the only ones that are really practical. So it's nice to have those. Yeah. And that's also no hate on impure double green triangles. Like this vanish that I do, this is a doubly impure double green triangle. It's twisted at both ends.
So this is a sinful green triangle.
This is a very sinful green triangle. But it's still a good trick, right? And it's still a green triangle. And we can kind of demonstrate the reduction here, right? So the first thing is this top triangle is twisted around. So if I take the yo-yo and I pass it through its own loop, that undoes that twist, right? And now it's only singly impure, and I can solve that by taking it and just going around, right? And wow. Now I have a pure, right? And this one is front, so makes it the back, and we're all good. So you can do that. And then sometimes you can't do that. Sometimes you can't do that. Like this one, if you look at it, the bottom one is pure. It's all good. The top has got this kind of hellhole going on. But if you actually look at it, it's not just twisted around. Like, it's not just the strands twisting around each other. There's actually a bunch of nonsense going on there. And you can't just simplify it, really, at all. But what you can do is drop it and twist it through. And now I'm holding the other string, and now I have a singly impure, which can...
Wow.
Roll around, and now I have a pure, and then I can exit. Which is always kind of fun to think about.
That's
And then you can have ones that don't, right? Because if you start with a single triangle and you roll through, mm-hmm. then that doesn't do anything. But if you twist the other way and roll through, there are some ways that you can get things that look like double green triangles, but they're not, right? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to find them. I think that's one. Or maybe this is one. So I've got this, which is twisted at the top and not twisted at the bottom. And if I roll it through here, well, that hasn't worked, right? This is something else. And if I drop through, it's actually just a single green triangle that's just been twisted up a bit. I'm trying to think, because I know there are some really good examples of this. I think this is one. Like, how does it work? You end up here, but then, like, you have to roll through somehow, and I don't remember how it works. I know that I've got into them before, but, like, trying to actually construct one is kind of giving me a headache a little bit. No, that's not it. Is that it? No, that's not it. Is that it? Excuse me. Well, kind of. Like, I've got this, right? There you go. So I have this, which looks suspiciously like a double green triangle. But if you actually do the roll, it's just not, right? It's just a single.
That's insane.
Which is fun. Which is why then if you go into impure, then there's all sorts of different categories you can have of those, depending how they come out. And then there's the really, really cursed set, which are like this, right? Where you have multiple twists around like that. Uh-huh. And those ones just don't have fun. They don't like you.
That's an extra.
Because this is just a single, right? And if I exit out the correct way, I still have a knot because I have to go out again.
But I'm sure there's a lot that could be done with that.
Oh yeah, they're super useful because you can do fun tricks like that and back and do it. And sometimes there's used to be in a knot. Like this trick starts in a knot, and this was how I came up with these no hand vanishes. Because when you've got a knot, you've got a lot of grip on that string, and so you can do an inch vanish. And then that looks like a double, but it's actually a single. And, like, fun stuff. So,
I just wanted to really quick shout out. It looks like Ricardo Fraolini is watching, who is another
one. Oh, boy! Let's go! One of the biggest inspirations.
Me too. His Instagram is, like... If anyone doesn't follow him, check him out because he is so
stupid. Yeah, absolutely. Just go watch everything he's ever done.
And Ricardo, if you ever want to be on this show, we do it every Sunday. And we talk yo-yo theory.
Also, I'd like to point out I've recently made the switch to this, which was inspired by what he does.
I heard about it today.
Because he's done that in some ways. So the main reason that I do it... is for 3A, right? So in 3A, I have them both on the ring fingers because that gives you your index and your middle free to do undermounts, which makes everything feel a bit better and it lets you keep the string out of the way a bit better. Now, for any beginner learning 1A, do not do this, put it on your middle finger, then you will be doing the same as everyone else. The tutorials will all make sense. You'll be able to do tricks. But if you're someone advanced who's already comfortable with a yo-yo and you want to try something a bit different, just put it on your ring finger and suddenly you've got an extra finger free.
You know what? You're right.
And suddenly you can use your middle finger for stuff and your kind of yo-yo string is staying away a little bit more and it lets you just open up your hand a little bit more. And it's not like I actually use my middle finger for mounts all that often, but it gives you a bit more room for pinching strings and grabbing things and overall, it just feels more comfortable for me now, so I just do it. But it's interesting. I don't do it for everything. Like 2A, I still play on the middle fingers because it gives me more control. Because the middle finger has the most most control for that.
There's not much option with 2A.
No. But for 1A, you know, a lot of it is controlled either with the whole hand or not with the yo-yo finger. It's with the other fingers.
Uh-huh.
And so having those other fingers free is really helpful.
Well, I think we might have to start wrapping up just
for
time. But I have some final little questions. First of all,
I'm
thinking about taking the mostly talking parts and just like downloading the audio and putting it in a podcast. Would you mind?
Ooh, I wouldn't super mind. No, that sounds kind of fun.
Okay, cool. So that's question one. And then some other stuff are, so we've talked about a lot of stuff.
Sorry about that.
We've been going for like 2 hours. If there was one takeaway, like one thing that you want people to remember, what would you say that is?
Oh, God. Oh, God. There's a lot of things. I mean, no four triangles is a fun fact.
Yeah.
If you want to impress people, every red triangle is a green triangle is just a life advice. Like, you know, every red triangle is a double green triangle. That will get you out of so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And make some really cool. Because it also means every pure. I have to be careful with how I say this. Clean exit double green triangles can turn into red triangles,
mm-hmm.
which is also fun. Which gives you fun, magical exits like this one, where I have my double green triangle, right? And I fold it over like this. And this looks like absolute Knotville, right?
No. Yeah.
It's not. Because I just entered the red triangle, but I didn't show you it. Which is makes us some really mind-bending dismounts.
Yeah.
But I think the most important thing is probably just to remember that if you understand how something works, then you can make it happen.
Yes.
Right. If you actually sit down and you think about what is happening in this trick, mm-hmm. where is everything going, what do I have to do, then you can make that happen. As long as you actually think about what's going on instead of just, you know, swinging the yo-yo around and doing whatever. And there's absolutely swing the yo-yo around, do whatever. That's how you find the fun stuff. But when you get something and you want to figure it out, you know, if it's something someone else has done, slow it down. Do the slow-mo until you can picture in your head where all the strings are going.
Yes.
Like, or if you're trying to come up with something yourself, think about, well, what did I do? What could have possibly happened here? You lay it out on the floor, do some folding, do some things like that, and just remember that you can break things down that way.
Uh-huh.
And if you can get in, you can get out.
That is.
And more importantly, if you can get out, you can get in.
That is a solid set of takeaways. The one that I wanted to throw out was what you said about, I liked how you said, I was asking you about the contest, and I was like, you know, doing my normal complaints about it, and how you said that if you do something that doesn't score, but then you morph it so that it does, you'll often make it harder, and it comes out better, and you'll get something out of that.
And I really I think always try and do that. So don't think about, like, a lot of the time you can be intimidated when you see top level players doing these, like, they're doing a 5.5 hook, or they're doing some weird behind the back like Iwasawa Tower, or they're doing these insane speed combos, right? And that's because that's what they dedicate their time to. They really practice on these one tricks, these single tricks, and they get so good at them. But those aren't all the tricks, right? You can, with something that I try not to tell people, with very little effort, you can get really, really impressive at tricks that nobody else does, because they're still really easy because nobody does them.
Yes.
If you start doing just something else, you just go, well, what happens if I do this stupid thing, right? You'll probably find something fun. It's probably hard. It's probably not that hard if you actually work at it. It's just that nobody else is doing it, so nobody's going to teach you. But if you can actually get that, well, suddenly you've just invented a new thing, and you can show off this cool thing that you invented, no matter how hard it really is. And that is the secret to being successful when you are really bad at yo-yoing, like me.
That's 100% like... what I do all the time.
Yeah, it's like, don't worry about being as good as the pros you see at the tricks the pros do. Those are their tricks. Yeah, you do your tricks.
Your own thing. Whether it's hyper-analytical whips into various kinds of triangles.
Whatever you enjoy, right? Yeah. Just combine things, put them together. I can do this, right?
in magic, people will say, instead of trying to buy whatever trick is new, because magic is like a giant instead of buying what trick is new, go to the oldest books you can find, like the ones written in the 1600s and like 1800s, and learn those ones and do those, because those were fooling people back then, and they'll make people today go, what the hell are you doing? Because everyone forgot. So
exactly. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Go find, go dig out all things. There's a gold mine of videos out there that are worth watching. I was watching something the other day. I can't even remember what it's called, but it's called like Library of Wits or something. And it's just this one kid, just this Chinese kid, just doing like from like 12 years ago or something. Just doing a bunch of just absolutely mind melting lacerations and hooks and things like that. And they just make no sense. But if you just stop and you look at it and you study it and you slow it down and you really watch what's going on, you can start to figure out how they work. And suddenly you've got, you know, magical tricks like this that everyone's forgotten about.
Yeah.
You can just go into that.
That's a star.
Thank you. Yeah. So anything like that that you can find and make, just
do them.
You know, bring the trick back. Bring the trick back. Just because some kid did it 12 years ago and nobody else did it since, you can be the person to do it since. Bring it back and make everybody like it.
So I got two more rapid fire questions. These ones are real quick.
Let's go. Let's go.
One, do you have a favorite musician or maker of music, band or anything?
Oh, I don't think so. I like a lot of things.
Okay.
If I was going to shout out something right now, I'd say go check out Sungazer.
Sungazer.
It's Adam Neely's. Yeah, Adam Neely and Sean Crowder. They do mind-melting music. It's so good.
I'll check them out. What style?
It's like jazz fusion stuff, but they go mental with like quintuplets and stupid time signatures and like... But they can groove. They can absolutely groove. They're two very skilled musicians, drummer and bassist, who can really play those things well and make them sound good. I think on their recent album they dropped, one of the tracks, the BPM is set at the lowest BPM that humans can understand before it starts not becoming rhythm anymore.
I've heard of this band.
But the tuplets are 19 tuplets, which means that their interval between the notes is as fast as humans can perceive them until it starts not making sense anymore. And it's a trip to listen to. Because somehow they still make it like a vibe that you can just kind of
put gear around to. I heard them on a podcast or on a YouTube video, and I never actually listened to them. So I'm going to actually...
Yeah, so Adam Neely runs a music educational YouTube channel, which is how I found out about them, which is also worth a watch. You know, I'm sure that there's nobody I'm talking to who hasn't heard of Adam Neely, but, you know, I'm not in a position to be advertising that, but give it a check out if you haven't. It's really good quality stuff.
I love that your go-to music was like someone who takes music and deconstructs it, which I can't find the connection between.
If you really want to jump in the deep end, go check out Sevish, microtonal EDM producer.
Okay.
That's a wild ride. Because suddenly there are 53 notes in an octave and your brain is melting.
What?
So good. All right. A fellow UK musician, so that's awesome.
We'll have to look them up. What was their name?
Yeah. Sevish. S-E-V-I-S-H.
Sevish. Sevish and Sungazer.
Yeah.
All right, last question.
which I'm
stealing. Let's go.
I'm stealing most of these three questions from the podcast Discourse in Magic with Jonah Babbins, who everyone nice. Can go watch them. So I'm going to steal the name for this, which is The Endless Chain, which is that I want to have you recommend someone to bring on to this show. And it has to be someone that you can get in connection with, someone that you know.
Aha. Uh-huh. So now I know someone who would be really good. I don't know if they want to.
Okay.
But if you've seen, I think on Instagram they're EOS X44 or something.
Is it
guy? He does a bunch of fixed axle tricks. He does a bunch of really super clean stuff. He makes really quality tutorials. Uh-huh. And we have long discussions in the Trick Talk channel of r/throwers Discord about nonsense. Like, what happens if you do a counter reverse Brent Stoll? Like, I think they're EOS X44 or something like that. And they're sponsored by Mark Kwan, I think.
Okay.
And they're definitely worth a poke. Yep. I don't know if you're in the Discord. If you're in the Discord, you'll find them there. Or in the YoTrix Discord or somewhere like that.
I am, but I rarely go in.
Yeah, well, if you poke your head in for a few hours, you'll see them show up, you know.
Sweet.
And you can check out their YouTube channel as well, which I think is also US44 something. They make a bunch of really high quality tutorials with slow-mos and breakdowns and like categorizations of tricks and cool stuff like that.
We talk a lot of
theory with each other, so
I definitely need to go research them and find out.
Yeah, yeah. And they can bring all the good fixed axle stuff as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super clean technique. Crazy stuff.
I barely do any fixed axles, so and there's so much in there that is available to
There's
learn.
So much in it. It's just wild. Like, it's like Ed is just taking that just to the next level. You know, Ed Habonic. Yeah. Just
I totally agree.
Insane tricks. And that's the thing, right? If you focus on one set of tricks, you can get that good at those tricks.
Yes.
And just, if you're the only one doing it, well, you're just going to be miles better than everyone else for years because everyone else is just working to catch up with you.
Yeah.
You've got a few years head start. It's great.
Completely.
You know, I'm sure like 5-10 years down the line, people will be doing some of my vanishes.
Oh yeah.
Just normally. But because I came up with them, I had a year practicing them before I filmed them properly. And then I had another year or so before I did a tutorial, you know, and suddenly I've got a bunch of tricks that nobody else can do. And they're all trying to work. They're trying to work to land the basic versions. Like the people are fighting to learn this trick when that's like just a super casual trick for me. And I'm doing just mental stuff that's based on it. Yeah, it's like a whole category of tricks.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, always take whatever trick, whatever's your favorite trick. Make it one harder, give it a +1.
Yes.
You know, can I do an extra wrap? Can I do an extra roll? Can I do this in a double or nothing? Can I add an extra kink?
Mm-hmm.
Can I make it a slack? Can I combine two movements into one? Any of those things. Just make it a bit more unique, you know?
Absolutely. Well, so one thing I want to do is, can you get really close to the camera so we can get a thumbnail? Perfect. And lastly, just shout outs. First of all, look out for the Ouroboros. That's the right word?
Yeah, Ouroboros.
Ouroboros. Yeah. When that comes out, more runs coming soon. And then also there's a Black Friday sale on my bimetal, 7075 and stainless steel called the Cap.
That looks like a good bimetal. If you want a bimetal, that looks like a good one.
For $60 for Black Friday. So
Definitely. That's a steal. That's a steal.
That is an absolute steal. I'm trying to raise money to start making my two new ones coming out. I got a stock
awesome.
Out of these.
Awesome.
And then also a 24-pack of mouse pads for $8. And that's
gonna set you for life.
Too. Yeah. So
you'll never need to buy pads
again.
Thank
you so much, Luna. Follow Luna at the Sonic Pineapple also on Instagram.
Thank you. Yeah.
And me.
It was an honor to be here.
It's an honor to have you.
Oh, thank you.
Like, completely. I also got to shout out Jordan at Rain City Jordan for reaching out to you originally.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Perfect. So I'm gonna head off, but thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, no, thank you for having me here. It's been good fun.
You're welcome back anytime.
Oh, well, I might just hit you up on that.
Definitely do. Definitely do. I learned so much. All right. I will, I'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, awesome.
Bye.
See you then. Bye.